So that leads us to Luke. This is Luke 18. Listen to these words as they come to us, as Jesus is telling them a parable. The Bible says, "Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and to not lose heart. Jesus said, 'In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to the judge and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." Now for a while he refused. But later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will God not grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" These words from the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, along with what we heard from Jeremiah, are for us by the Holy Spirit, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, what I just read to you in Luke is a rather complicated and peculiar little parable. Whenever you find a complicated or peculiar parable in the Bible, in the Gospels, if Jesus is saying it, here's the first thing you do. You go and see if he said the same parable in one or two other places. So in Luke's case, we'd go look in Matthew and Mark. Did Jesus say this as there as well? Maybe he's got a little different take on it. Maybe Matthew makes a comment that will help me understand what this parable means for me today. So what does it say in Mark? This peculiar little parable, what does it say in Matthew? Nothing. This one's only in Luke. And that makes it kind of special. Luke has a habit of telling standalone parables. In fact, he does it more than the other writers. We had the unjust manager about 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, Luke 16. The Good Samaritan, that's in Luke 10. The prodigal son, that's in Luke 15. Next week, we get the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, also in Luke 18, also a parable only in Luke. Yeah. This parable today is known as the parable of the unjust judge and the widow, or the widow and the unjust judge. And the one thing I do know about it is I doubt it's in the top 10 of anybody's favorite scripture list. But it is here. It's today, and it's got something to teach us about our practice of faith, because it's got a lot to say about how and when we are supposed to be praying. Of course, there's a giveaway. It's right at verse 1. My sermon title comes from verse 1 today. And whenever the Bible gives us a giveaway, Luke gives us a purpose statement. It's like, here's why Jesus is telling us this parable. And whenever Luke does that, or the Bible gives us sort of this purpose statement, that's a great time to pay attention and to try to take the lesson to heart. Verse 1, "Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart." So that's why Jesus is telling them the parable. Two parts. Part 1, pray always. Pray always. Part 2, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart while we're praying. Yes, the topic is prayer. And yes, everybody in here, I think, knows that prayer is a mark of the Christian life. People of faith are supposed to pray. It's just one of the things that we do. It's one of the most important things we do. Some would argue it is the most important thing that we do. In good times, in bad times, blue skies, gray skies, markets up, markets down, we are people of prayer, and Jesus wants us to pray. It's that simple. Reminding them to pray always and not lose heart. This prayer thing, according to Jesus, is essential to all that we do. I hope everyone here, I think most of us here at least, have a story of a prayer being answered. And if something amazing happened that we were praying for. As a pastor, I've had this experience many times. I've prayed with and prayed over hundreds of people in hospitals and in intensive care units. I've prayed for struggling couples. May this couple have healing in their marriage, O Lord. I've prayed for struggling children, right? With adults, struggling adult children, struggling teen children, children who are having a hard way acclimating into elementary school. I've prayed for aging parents struggling with the challenges of living a long way into your 80s or 90s. Yeah, I've prayed for all sorts of things in all sorts of places with all sorts of people. My prayers, our prayers, many times do get answered in positive ways. I have lots of stories about answered prayers. So, prayer is important for us to commit ourselves to. Prayer can and does work, and it's an honor for us as your pastors to pray with any of you and all of you in your hours of need. But, and like I say all the time in preaching and in the Bible, sometimes there's some really big buts out there. But everyone here also has a story of a prayer that didn't work. A story about something that we needed and we couldn't have it. When we didn't get what we wanted. Just like some of my happiest moments have been praying with people, some of my darkest have been praying over children or young adults or those stricken ill far too young. And the hope that I and the families and all the loved ones put into the prayers seemed to have achieved no purpose. Didn't work. There was a man named John Buchanan. He, I think, was maybe the best Presbyterian pastor in North America in the late 20th century. And he once wrote this. He said, quote, "Ministers know, perhaps more clearly and poignantly than anyone else, that prayers are not always answered. If by answering them, we mean the fulfillment of the specific requests of the ones praying." What does this mean? Well, it means that even though we are to pray always and to not lose heart, we need to remember what I've said many times before from this pulpit, that praying to God in a life of prayer is not like a vending machine. It's not like driving up to the drive-through line at Chick-fil-A. Yeah, I'll have a number one with a large French fries and a large Diet Coke, and I'll do it all for my Chick-fil-A app. It doesn't work that way. That's not how prayer works. It's never just a simple request and a simple response. You see, whenever we pray, God, who is God and we are not, yes, I'm talking about God here, God can say no. God can say not now. God can say not yet. God can say maybe later. Sometimes God can say yes. Yes. The venerable Huston Smith, who was the greatest scholar of religion in the 20th century, who lived the entire century, he died at 97 years old in 2016. He put it this way, quote, "When the consequences of belief are worldly goods, such as health, fixing on these needs turns religion into a service station for self-gratification and churches into health clubs. That's the opposite of religion's role, which is to de-center the ego, not to pander to the ego's desires." Now that quote there is admittedly quite academic, because it's frankly easier to say it in an academic way. It's really hard when you're the pastor and you go to pray with someone who desperately needs it and the prayers don't work. It's really difficult. It's really disappointing. Oh God, why didn't you show up for me just this one time? I show up for you every Sunday for three services in a row. But we don't get to bargain with God like that. See, prayer isn't only about changing God's mind to address the things that we need, or sometimes even the things that we want. Prayer is also about the transformation within us. We pray not just to beg God for what we need. We also pray to help our own spiritual maturity grow. Prayer is an essential part of every life of faith, and with every prayer that we pray, we can grow and do go closer to God. And like I said, this is hard. This is really hard. Why didn't God answer my prayer, Christopher? Why didn't Mama get better? I prayed with thousands of people And even when they don't ask that question, that's the question in their eyes. You can see it. You can feel it. And when a prayer goes answered, the first thing we think might be, well, then what is the point of prayer? And that's a fair question. We should note this, though, that Jesus says to pray always and to not lose heart. And Jesus never addresses that question in the parable. That's not the question or the example that he's taking up. Instead, he says, I want you to pray persistently, pray always, like a widow who, even though she knows she's going to a judge who does not fear God or even like people very much, is going to keep knocking on his door until she gets what she needs. Jesus says, pray always like that. Over and over again, the widow just keeps going. She just keeps praying. And Jesus says, learn from that example. Through thick and thin, we're just supposed to keep praying, keep going, keep praying like the little fish in the movie. You just keep swimming. Again, to quote the pastor John Buchanan, quote, from the start, Jesus sets out not to resolve the mystery of answered or unanswered prayer, but to teach his disciples persistence. Pray always. Don't lose heart. Persistence in prayer, that's the lesson. Lean days and full days, joyful days, days full of grief. No matter what happens, we are to pray. Yes, your pastors have prayed with you, and we have wept with you, and we'll probably do it again. Yes, when the prayer and the medicine have failed, I know how desperate this can be. But what do we do then? Well, as pastors, we're going to pray with you the next day and the day after that. And we're going to encourage you to find a group to keep praying with. And we're going to send other people, your friends, and tell them to pray with you. And we're going to tell them to pray for you. We're just going to keep praying. That's what we're going to do. Because the God who gives us the strength and the power and the words to endure even our greatest seasons of loss and disappointment is the very God to whom Jesus is calling us to pray always. I often think of a story. It's a story that's at least partly legend. It's 80 years old now. The story is told that back in 1946 or 1947, there was a gathering of the rabbis who had survived the Holocaust in Europe. Now, I'm just back from Poland and Germany with White Memorial's Polish pilgrimage trip. And what happened there in those years from 1939 to 1945 was truly real and truly unspeakable. You can still touch the shrapnel and the bullet holes from the Russian and German soldiers in Berlin. They're still there. You can still visit Auschwitz and Birkenau or Gross Rosen, and you can see where the death camps were and how it happened. And so for those surviving rabbis to gather together in 1946 and 1947 or 47 took some amazing courage. And they decided with all their years of rabbinical study that they had prayed to God to be protected and that they had not been protected. And that's a devastating admission. Devastating for them as men of faith. Devastating for whatever followers they had remaining. And then once that disappointment had been declared, one of the rabbis, legend says the oldest one there, said something like, well, I'm glad that that's been settled, but now it's time to pray. Pray always. Don't lose heart. Like the widow in the parable, they persisted. Do we pray through thick and thin? That's what the parable is asking, and the question that we face today and tomorrow and all the other days when we have a chance to pray. The last verse, Jesus wonders something like, and will anyone still be praying, no matter the circumstances, when I come back? It's a rhetorical question. He expects us to be praying over and over again. Our answer, yes, Jesus, we will pray. Yes. We will pray in every season. Yes, we will pray in every circumstance. Yes, Jesus, We will always pray, and we shall do our best to never lose heart. In the name of God the Father, and of God the Son, and of God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You know, Kate's right about those Jeremiah texts. They are texts that are brimming with hope and promise, written to the people, Jeremiah's people, at a time when they didn't have a string to hold on to. They had no reason to hope. And yet Jeremiah keeps saying things like this: the days are surely coming. The days are surely coming. This echo of promise just over and over and over again. Wherever you can find that echo of promise echoing in your life this week, friends, go find it and hold on tight to it, because Lord knows we all need it from time to time. Go from this place, dear friends, to not lose heart, but to instead to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbors as yourselves today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.